Well, it's been a busy week in Washington with a host of world leaders beating a path to the White House in an effort to halt what appears to be a widening rift between the US and its European and NATO allies. French President Emmanuel Macron met with President Trump earlier this week. Today, it's the turn of British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is due to sign a minerals deal with the US President tomorrow. On this side of the Atlantic, there's also a flurry of activity. President Macron met with Germany's Chancellor-in-Waiting Friedrich Merz last night in Paris, while on Sunday, Keir Starmer will host a meeting of international leaders with the focus on Ukraine. So much high-level political activity, but what is it all leading to? Donika O'Bacon, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government at DCU, is on the line now. Professor, thank you for joining us. What should we read into all of this geopolitical activity?
Well, what we know is that a lot of meetings are taking place. Whether they signify anything greater in the short term is more difficult to divine. We know that Macron, of course, visited Trump earlier this week. We know that Keir Starmer is on his way today. And we know that Volodymyr Zelensky will sign a bilateral agreement in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. The deal itself is about minerals. It's about a reconstruction company, but it's very modest yet. It still has to be fleshed out. So a little bit like Trump generally, he speaks in very broad generalities, but there's often not a lot of detail there. And we could say it's the same regarding any potential plan that might bring an end to the conflict in Ukraine. We don't have any flesh on the bone as yet.
Now, President Trump has explicitly said that any minerals deal, it won't contain security guarantees for Ukraine. But he has argued that if the US or US personnel are on the ground as part of a minerals deal, that that in itself almost provides a security guarantee. Will that be enough for Volodymyr Zelensky?
No, I don't think it will be. I mean, Trump said on Putin's behalf that, you know, there could be, for example, EU peacekeepers in a post-conflict arrangement in Ukraine. And the Kremlin quite quickly dismissed that. So he has this habit, again, of speaking on other people's behalf. He speaks a lot on Ukraine's behalf. He said that Ukraine cannot get its territory back. It can't expect to join NATO. He gives all these kind of concessions to Russia on Ukraine's behalf without consulting with Ukraine. So it's not clear for whom he's talking at the moment, except himself. I mean, the press conference yesterday that he gave was very interesting, particularly in its antagonism towards Europe, which he said, you know, had been established to screw Europe, in his own words, and had been doing it very effectively. And as he said, as you've just said, he won't be giving any security guarantees. I don't think the presence of, you know, US people on the ground, you know, taking minerals from Ukraine is going to be a deterrent from Russia. Certainly nothing like that has been a deterrent in the past.
Now, there's been something of a fractious relationship between President Trump and President Zelensky. We've heard President Trump calling Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator. Mr. Zelensky, in turn, accused him of living in a disinformation bubble. So is this meeting tomorrow, it could be quite fractious, couldn't it?
I don't think we'll see any war of words in person. It's not Trump's style. I think the problem for Zelensky is that he's now effectively fighting a war on two fronts. You know, Russia wants Ukrainian land, and the US administration under Trump wants Ukrainian resources, and indeed is parroting key Kremlin talking points on Ukraine. And Russia indeed has reached out, Putin has reached out to Trump to kind of counter his interest in minerals, to say that, well, Russia has more of these minerals than Ukraine has, and the US enterprise is free to exploit it in any kind of future agreement. He also said, of course, he's including, by the way, the territories in Ukraine that Russia occupies, which also have these rare minerals and these critical earths. He's saying that, again, you know, the US could be part of that. And therefore, he's trying to dangle an economic incentive for, you know, the US to partner with Russia rather than Ukraine. And unfortunately, the precedent has been historically that America has prioritized Russia over Ukraine. And indeed, one might argue that that's one of the reasons why Russia felt emboldened to invade Ukraine in the first place.
Now, President Trump did say last night though that Vladimir Putin, he was going to have to make concessions in order to end the war in Ukraine. What might those concessions be?
Well, again, he hasn't fleshed them out. And again, he's speaking on Trump's, in Putin's behalf without consulting, it seems, with Putin. I mean, the kind of concessions that Russia might give would, of course, be giving back the some of the territory that it's already seized. But Russia has shown itself in no mood to do that. It says that its demands are unchanged. And not only does it want its the territory that it's already seized to be respected in any future agreement, it wants territories that it claims but doesn't actually hold to be respected by Ukraine and international actors like the US. It says that, for example, the territory that Ukraine holds in Russia, in the Kursk region, cannot be part of any kind of land exchange. And as I've said already, it dismisses the idea that there could be European peacekeeping troops in Ukraine. Instead, what they've been doing is they've been reaching out to their authoritarian allies. So Sergei Lavrov was during the week in Iran, talking about other things, among other things, about Iran's nuclear program. And of course, there's been additional North Korean troops sent to Russia to support their fight against Ukraine in the last week. And that's another big problem for Ukraine, is that, you know, Russia's allies, Iran and North Korea, have been much more adept at supplying Russia with military hardware than the EU has, for example, being in supplying Ukraine.
Donika Oboyokun, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU, thank you.